This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, June 9th, 2020. The Memorial of St. Columba by Father William Doc Holliday.
Not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves, that our sufficiency is from God. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In that first reading today from 2 Corinthians, our Lord, through St. Paul, is giving us a comparison, the Old Testament and the New Testament. That comparison is to be taken to great heart by us who live in the New Testament, because we have been given so much more than the people of the Old Testament. It is about the life-giving qualities of the New Testament. When we look at the progression of salvation history, if we learn after the fall, the only guide that people had was the natural law. Nature teaches us, and it doesn't matter what society, what continent, everywhere, murder is not okay. Okay? Well, I would call people murder other people. You never murder your own people. Even in the most barbarian of tribes, you don't murder your own people. You can murder everybody else, but not your own people. It's the natural law. The natural law teaches us that we don't steal from other people. Okay? Stealing is never okay. This is the natural law. In worship, there is even an aspect of natural law. If there's anything that's in our nature, it's the worship of God. Because he made us. We're made in his likeness and in his image. That's why there's not a people on the face of this planet ever that has lived in a civilization and had no concept of a God. Doesn't happen. Why? Why does everybody have, you know, they worship fire, wind, water, rocks, frogs, animals, the true and living God? Why is that? Why does everybody worship something? Because it's in our nature. We believe in the worship of a God of some sort, innately. So after the fall, before the law, everybody had these general rules. This is why our Lord could destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, because they were doing unnatural things, hence their name. Okay, that's where we get that word, Sodom. All right, they're committing evil, unnatural sins. We know what God does there. When we see God flood the earth, what's going on? They were violating the natural law. They weren't worshiping properly. They did what was ever right in their own eyes, hence the retribution. Then we get the Old Testament. And it's a good thing. In this comparison, it's not. The Old Testament was bad, but the New Testament's good. No, this is progression of things. You have the natural law. And even the natural law, we can basically have to come up with our own subjective thinking on, you know, these things. You know, I know I shouldn't take things, but does that mean take big things or take small things? Take sometimes when I need them, or, you know, we're subjective. Our Lord puts it in writing for us. It's Ten Commandments. Yeah, not just on parchment or skins. He puts it on a rock. All right. There is a whole idea behind that. He writes it down for us. He writes it down, but we have to understand that when he wrote it down, he did not, the law doesn't bring us to salvation, because we don't have the ability to fulfill it. There were centuries when the Jewish people, his chosen people, who had the law, I mean, as soon as Moses gets it, they're messing it up. Okay, so, you know, just because it's written down for us, if we don't have grace, we can't fulfill it. The Old Testament did a glorious thing for us. It let everybody know what sin is and its effects. They're much more evident. I was talking about that natural law thing before in Romans chapter 4 and in chapter 5, St. Paul makes a statement, where there is no law, neither there is there transgression. Now, you got to step back a little bit and look at this. You know, this St. Paul even uses in 2 Corinthians, the letter killeth. Why does he say that? Well, if it's a good thing, what does he mean by it killeth? The letter of the law brings spiritual death because it commands and prohibits things that God doesn't want us to do. But as I said, it does not provide graces to fulfill it. Step back a little footnote on this. This whole sin thing, what do most people, when you hear sin, what does that mean? Didn't follow the rules. I mean, that is the definition of most of it. Well, I broke this commandment. I broke that commandment. Why is it bad? I mean, is it a list of arbitrary rules that need to be kept, or God smites you because you didn't keep the rules? Why do we have the rules? Because God wants you to relate to him properly. And he knows all the bad things that will happen in your lives and in the lives of others if you don't follow the rules. There's nobody that's walking the face of the planet in 21st century North America that can't see the results of, for instance, thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, even if it doesn't directly hit you, but most people it has directly hit in their families in one way or another, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, I didn't dot the I's across the T. No. Why don't you commit adultery? Because your family will fall apart. The building block of society, your family will fall apart if you commit adultery. Okay, it's not just not you following the rules. It corrupts your entire family. It makes your spouse livid and mad at you, where she is now enraged, or he is now going out and doing the I'll get back at you thing. God knows this is going to happen. That's why he said, don't commit adultery. Be happy with the one whom God gave you. This is the reality. Let no man put it asunder. This is the reality. This is why we have the law. He knows what's good for us in society. It's not just following his rules. His rules are there for us. We've got to understand that about sin. When you sin, it's not a matter of just breaking the rule. It is a matter of putting your spirituality and spirituality of the of others in grave danger, if not destroying it outright. The letter brings spiritual death because when we just had the law, the people didn't have the grace to fulfill it. The letter killeth, so saith St. Paul, but the Spirit quickeneth. In the New Testament, we're given the Holy Spirit in addition to the law. So we had natural law, then we have the written law, and then we have the Holy Spirit to help us, enable us to fulfill that law. That's what I said at the beginning. You have something going for you that the Old Testament saints did not. They looked forward to the Messiah. We look back to the Messiah. But they're looking forward. They were not equipped with the grace to do what they needed to do. Their focus was so intent on the coming Messiah. That's the only reason they got to heaven. And it was very few of them. This is what we have to appreciate. The Spirit quickeneth. The transitory nature of the Old Testament. It wasn't supposed to be, here, let me give you the rules, and oh, darn, you guys can't keep them. Let me send my son. It was the progression of salvation. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ says in the gospel today, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. The law doesn't go anywhere. You are expected to keep the law just like the Old Testament people were. But you have something going for you they didn't. You have the Holy Spirit that enables you to fulfill the law. The Old Testament law was transitory. It was supposed to be. The law reveals the righteousness of God. And that culminates in his incarnation in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4, you see this an illustration that St. Paul uses about the transitory nature of the law. He uses when Moses used to go to the tabernacle to speak with our Lord, he came out, his face shone like the sun because he was in that close of a proximity with God. His face shone like the sun. If one of y'all comes up and receives communion, I look over and your face looks like the sun, I'm kind of stepping back. Okay? That's what the people did. Moses had come out of their tabernacle. Hey, I got something to tell you. No way. Not you with the shiny face. So what Moses used to do, he used to cover his face with a veil so the people wouldn't be petrified. But then another thing that he did that is not something that we pay, and Paul talks about it, is he also covered his face when that light started to fade, because he didn't want people to think that there was in some way the communication of God was a fading thing. But it is transitory. This is why his face shone when he left God, but then it died down. This is why we have to go to Mass every week. Let's bring it to our day. We're like spiritual sieves. You leave Mass, you feel, woo, you know? And then after a couple days, trash. You're here for an hour-ish. It's glorious. But then you get trash. 23 hours that day and 24 for the next few days when you don't go to Mass. Problem. All right? The glory fades. We've got a lot more going for us than Moses did. He went into the tabernacle where there were just an image of God, a theophany. We take God Almighty into ourselves. His body, blood, soul, and divinity, we bring it into ourselves. How much more should we shine if we approach Him properly? Listen to last Sunday. The transitory nature of the Old Testament was what it was always supposed to be until our Lord Jesus Christ comes and fulfills that law. The Old Testament was glorious because we knew who God was. We knew what He expected of us. But then St. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is in glory. That's now. That's us. You have the Holy Spirit. He gives you grace to fulfill the law, but you have to cooperate with that grace. He is not going to miracle you into obedience. He will do everything that He will have to do to assist you in that, but you have to do your part, because there's also still Satan. There's also still our fallen human natures with which we have to contend. Okay, so this means we need to cooperate with the graces of the Holy Spirit. When we see that and we do that, we see the practical manifestation of this whole thing. This is a theology lesson. This is a lesson, first and foremost, on the progress of salvation history. It is to make us appreciate what we have. The Holy Spirit indwelling us. God Almighty Himself. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ into ourselves. This is why we can use the term deification. We are being made more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ every time we receive His graces, particularly in the Eucharist and in the confessional. And it practically manifests itself. And today is the memorial day of St. Columba, very patrimonial saint. Sixth century. People go, the Catholic Church in England, sixth century, all right? Actually, before that, it had just started to dwindle, okay? But in the sixth century, St. Columba is sent on a missionary. He just goes. Who does he go to evangelize? The Picts. P-I-C-T-S, the Picts. If you don't know history, if you're not into that kind of stuff, the Picts were a tribe in what is now Scotland. And I always use them as an example generally when I'm talking about the Roman armies. That was part of the empire, England. The Roman army was second to none, all right? The Roman army marched through every other army that ever was. The Roman army built a wall between them and the Picts, because, these guys aren't fighting fair. Okay, we got these shiny shields. We make this little tortoise thing. We got our spears hanging out of them. They're running around painted blue and they're naked. For one thing, you run around naked in Scotland, you're the man. Or in this case, the women, because the women were warriors also. All right? They were horrendous, ferocious warriors. Romans were like, build a wall. No, we're not dealing with this. And St. Columba, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, goes and evangelizes these people. It would be like me coming up, pulling you aside on your leaving mass, go, hey, I got a couple plane tickets. We're going to get on a plane tomorrow. We're going to go over to Syria, and we're going to go evangelize ISIS. I bet you any amount of money, I'll be praying for you on your trip. I mean, you don't do stuff like that. You don't do stuff like that. The Holy Spirit does. We've got some escape routes. We can run real fast, get to an airport, hop on a plane and get out of somewhere, generally speaking. He couldn't do that. Human beings don't do that. The Holy Spirit guides, and if you cooperate, because the Holy Spirit can guide you. Hey, Columba, Abbott, go build an abbey in the Pict territories. You probably don't actually mean that, God. There's a lot of that goes on with God when he tells people to do something. Yeah. Hey, Ananias, go baptize Saul of Tarsus. Don't you know what he was doing to the church, Lord? Yes, I do. Go baptize him. Ananias cooperated with the graces. St. Columba cooperated with the graces. After he got there, he's actually getting some converts. Does an individual human being convert people like that? No, the Holy Spirit does. Always be cautious when you hear talk to anybody. How many souls have you saved? Here's even editions of the Bible. Soul Winners Edition. That's ridiculous. No human being has ever saved a soul. God saves a soul through us. The Holy Spirit saves souls. He's getting some converts. But even when he doesn't get converts, he gets respect by these tribal leaders of these guys. Why? Because when you stand up for the Lord, some people are just like, there's got to be something supernatural going on. I'm not going to buy into his religion, but there's something about him. Anybody that would come and hang out with us is not scared, and nobody's killed him yet. Something's got to be going on supernatural. I mean, it happened to St. Francis when he went down to the Middle East. He go waltzing into the heart of Islam and start spouting off that your Muhammad's a false prophet. You need to embrace Jesus Christ. Generally, we cut people's heads off for just saying half of what you just said. But you're going to waltz in here with these three or four guys in these brown, nasty old robes and not do... That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you and he'll also protect you in these things. St. Columba was actually involved in the Pict politics of his day. This is where it applies to us. It's got to apply to you, and it will if you cooperate with the grace of the Holy Spirit. You know your scriptures, and you know what the Holy Spirit does. Oh, I wish I knew the will of God. Open this book, and you'll know. And then let the Holy Spirit lead you to where he wants you to apply it. And usually you don't have to look far. It's usually in your own family or somebody close to you. This is reality. This is what St. Paul's talking about. This is what St. Columba did, and it's what is expected of us to do the Holy Spirit's will in this world. When we do that, things are going to work out. And even worst case scenario, you go try to evangelize the Picts and they kill you, as they have done, in so many different places, in so many parts of the world for the last 2,000 plus years. We go, we present, they kill. Even if that happens, that's the brass ring. You get to go to heaven to be with the Blessed Virgin Mary and our Lord Jesus Christ and all the angels and saints for all eternity. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Go figure. Like somebody might actually believe that. Well, current events might seem otherwise in a lot of different places, but nonetheless, it's true. We actually believe here what Christ says. We actually believe here that the Holy Spirit will work. And we actually believe here that he'll do his will and that we should conform to that will no matter what it may be. And Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.